surveying the damage of Central Florida's recent floods. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. Devastating rains passed through Central Florida earlier this week. Lake and Brevard counties received over 12 inches of rain in less than 12 hours, with some parts of Lake County receiving nearly 20 inches of rain. Houses were breached and roads were swept away by the flash flooding. Several roads in Lake County remain badly damaged after some parts of the county took on more than 19 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. That's according to the National Weather Service. In Mount Dora, nearly 18 inches of rain fell starting on Sunday.
The downpour is unbelievable. I'm saying, well, when is this going to stop? We're going to get flooded here. Well, sure enough, we did. At one point, it went in the room and there's water all over the floor.
We hear from those who were on the ground about the damage caused by the water. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Many Floridians are bracing for a temporary freeze in food stamps if the government shutdown lasts into November. As WUSF's Gabriella Paul reports, there's also permanent changes coming to the program.
Starting November 1st, the federal government will start enforcing new eligibility criteria for SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Lawmakers changed work requirements earlier this year as part of the Big Beautiful Bill Act. In Florida, those changes mean thousands of people will no longer qualify for food benefits if they don't have a job.
The impact to the state is about 181,000 more people will be subject to the work requirements that previously received an exemption.
That's Sky Beard, the Florida director of No Kid Hungry. She says people whose exemptions are at risk are in vulnerable groups, including veterans, homeless people, and adults over 59. I'm Gabriella Paul in Tampa.
Governor Ron DeSantis says he'll task the Board of Governors with, quote, pulling the plug on the use of H-1B visas at Florida's public universities and colleges. Central Florida Public Media's education reporter Danielle Pryor explains the visas allow U.S. employers to temporarily hire skilled foreign workers in specialty occupations.
The governor says he wants Florida's public universities and colleges to employ only American workers moving forward, not foreign workers on H-1B visas. DeSantis says Florida's higher ed institutions should be able to find the same talent among their recent graduates or from around the country. At a press conference in Tampa, he read off a list of university jobs held by staff with H-1B. They include professors, engineers, designers, and even
assistant swim coach from Spain. On an H-1B visa. Are you kidding me? We can't produce an assistant swim coach in this country?
United Faculty of Florida President and UCF Professor Robert Casanello says there aren't enough native-born candidates to fill jobs in fields like engineering. Over the last 5 years, 2,589 H-1B visa sponsorships were acquired for university workers in Florida. Danielle Pryor, Central Florida Public Media.
With private insurers scooping up customers, the state's Citizens Property Insurance Corp. shed nearly 200,000 policies last week and was at its lowest total since 2021. That's according to newly released numbers. Citizens estimates it will have about 430,000 policies at the end of 2025 as a depopulation program shifts customers into the private market. That will be the lowest year-end total since the end of 2018. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. The Wrap Inbox Edition is your Wednesday digest of what matters most in Central Florida. The weekly newsletter delivers the top headlines, original reporting, and a handy guide to Central Florida public media events, all in a format that's quick and easy to read. It's the perfect companion to this podcast. Sign up at cfpublic.org/thewrap. Late on Sunday night and into early Monday morning, an extraordinary rain event pushed through Brevard and Lake counties, causing floodwaters to quickly rise in both. The downpours have left both areas with water that has yet to fully recede. The National Weather Service reported Eustis had 19.7 inches of rain in one location over a 24-hour period. Mount Dora recorded 17.8 inches. In Brevard County, Port St. John, Titusville, and Port Canaveral all recorded more than 14 inches of rain. Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durig was on the ground earlier this week, witnessing damage and speaking with those impacted by the floods. She spoke with Engage host Joe Mario Pedersen about her reporting.
Molly, so you were there on Tuesday in the aftermath of this flooding. Can you just walk us through what you saw out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what really struck me the most was the condition of North Donnelly Street. This is a road that pretty much in some parts has totally collapsed, right around the downtown Mount Dora area. It leads right up to a retirement community where there were also some washouts, parts of the road that were washed out. Fortunately, no one was injured. Nobody died. There was reportedly a close call with someone in a car crossing the street right before the collapse, but fortunately she was okay. But yeah, it's certainly a striking image. The road is closed down for the foreseeable future, and it's not the only road that's been closed down, but certainly from what I saw, it's totally collapsed. So that was very striking. There's also quite a lot of standing water in some parts and some people's lawns and some streets. Portions of other streets remain closed down a couple days after this storm.
You mentioned, you know, one of the main arteries there and a few other roads. I mean, how is navigating in and around Mount Dora?
Yeah, so at one point, actually, on Britt Road, just outside of Mount Dora in Lake County, I had to kind of quickly slam on my brakes because I was approaching a thing of standing water. I mean, it was several inches deep, and I saw several other cars go on through. At least one car was, I mean, water was entering their vehicle. They were kind of like opening the door and trying to like drain it out, like as they were driving. A couple cars stopped and turned around, but I was honestly kind of taken aback by how many cars kept driving right on through.
As far as the folks who were affected by these floods, you know, what were you hearing from them?
It was really interesting. I spoke with a few folks who were kind of stopping by North Donnelly Street, trying to take a look at the damage. And one gentleman, Steve Brothers, a Mount Dora resident, said he got a couple of inches of water in his house.
The downpour was unbelievable. And I'm saying, well, when is this going to stop? We're going to get flooded here. Well, sure enough, we did. At one point, it went in the room and there's water all over the floor. So we got to deal with it. We're not the only ones. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people worse off than we are.
Kind of the vibe I was picking up from people was they weren't surprised, right? They live in an area that gets flooded sometimes. There's sort of an attitude of like resignation to it, but also just hoping, you know, hoping to get things fixed quickly. That's another big thing. Folks are hoping that these roads do not stay out of commission for very long because it's a small town. Obviously, Mount Dora's weekly arts festival, lots of local vendors, and the city in general has lots of local events, and people are a little concerned about the local business and how folks are going to be getting around the town.
So Molly, as an Orange County resident, 19 inches, that's a crazy amount of water for me to fathom. However, earlier you had mentioned that when you talked to locals about this, this wasn't actually something that they found all that surprising, even with such a large amount of water coming on so quickly. So could you walk us through that mentality?
I think that it's an interesting thing, right? People are, you know, trying to do their best just getting through. And so maybe there's that element too, people just trying to stay positive. But I talked to a gentleman, Andrew Duncan, who's not originally from the area, but has lived there for many years. And he talked about this isn't necessarily something that we expected to happen, but we are still in hurricane season until the end of November. While this was obviously not a hurricane, extreme rain events can happen. And I spoke with a man named Andrew Duncan who lives in the area and said, you know, this isn't necessarily what he expected, but it's hurricane season. So kind of got to be prepared, got to stay safe. And he was grateful that the area wasn't hit harder.
I just was raining very loud. It was raining all the time, you know, and it continued. And the police cars was blocked up all around here and stopping people from going that way. It's just something that we didn't expect to happen, but these things happen in this kind of hurricane season.
Do we have any idea as far as like damage totals, what officials are saying, the actual like monetary value of these damages are yet?
That's a great question. As of Tuesday afternoon, the city and Lake County both said that they don't have those totals yet. They are working to come up with a better sense of the damage. Also, we'll just throw out there that the state is pitching in to help. Governor Ron DeSantis said Tuesday that the Division of Emergency Management is going to help pump water to the tune of 30 million gallons from Lake County, from the flooded area. So that just gives you a sense of how much flood water there is still, again, a couple days after. And also the Florida Department of Transportation will be helping with, he said, at least 4 roadways in Lake County. So hopefully the state will be able to help. That's something I heard expressed by some of the residents, too, that they're hoping the state can come in and help and get things cleaned up more quickly.
You know, we're talking about the human element of this, obviously, but I'm wondering, since you are our environment reporter, if you noticed any wildlife that had actually been displaced as a domino effect of all of this. Obviously, you know, humans are not the only ones affected by these flash flood events. Did you notice anything like that?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I actually did notice what looked like a turtle that you'd find in the water. It looked like a snapping turtle to me. It was right on the side of the road. He was alive.
Oh,
looked
no.
Like he might have been...
Oh, alive, great. Glad
yeah,
to hear that.
Yeah, alive, great. But no,
not
I was
where
also,
he should be.
I was also like, oh no, I didn't want to see him in that situation. But anyways, a local business owner had a shovel and kind of like navigated him off the road as gently as possible. So hopefully they'll be all right. But that definitely does happen with events like these, wildlife getting displaced and land getting displaced, obviously, as well, and eroding. So
it sounds like, you know, some locals are taking it upon themselves to provide some relief for animals that were affected by this. As far as relief for the residents of the area, has there been any sort of relief set up yet?
Yes, that's a great question. So Mount Dora is making sandbags available to folks who may need them. And they have said that you can pick those up at the Frank Brown Sports Complex at 1245 Pine Avenue. You need to bring your own shovel. Mount Dora is encouraging residents who need help with disaster recovery, including anyone affected by flooding. They're encouraging folks to contact Lake Support and Emergency Recovery, also known as LASER. Also, there was a precautionary boil water notice in effect. The city is waiting on the results of water sampling, so it doesn't mean that the water is contaminated. What it means is they don't know if it's contaminated. Mm-hmm. So they're waiting to see. And in the meantime, there has been a boil water notice in effect. So basically, stay posted. Keep an eye on the social media channels and the websites of your local governments, of the city of Mount Dora, Lake County.
As far as water totals go, was there an estimate that was released on that?
Yeah, so some parts of Lake County, I believe Eustis got hit the hardest with more than 19 inches over a 24-hour period. Mount Dora took on nearly 18 inches. So yeah, in that range. And just to kind of put some context on that, I looked up the National Weather Service has a really handy tool called Now Data that lets you compare climate trends over time. And looking at the years between 1991 and 2020, so the totals for at the Leesburg Municipal Airport, the annual total is just under 44 inches. So wow. If you think about that, 19 inches, that's like 43% of a whole year in 24 hours. The October normal for Leesburg Municipal Airport is just under 3 inches. So again, 19 inches in 24 hours. That might help you put it into context. This was a very irregular event.
Molly Durig, environment reporter with Central Florida Public Media. Molly, thank you so much again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe Mario.
That was Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durig speaking with Engage host Joe Mario Pedersen about this rainfall and damage that occurred earlier this week. Hear more. Subscribe to Engage. Get that podcast wherever you get this podcast. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.